Welcome back to the Mama Distinct Show. I'm Shirley Nordrum.
And I'm Sharon Nordrum.
And today we're in Walker at the... What's the name of this theater?
Walker Bay Theater and Gallery.
Walker Bay Theater and Gallery. It's actually kind of like a secret hidden spot underneath the subway. And we're going to visit with Tom Kamash. Thank you for joining us today, Tom. So
Thank
Tom
you.
Is an artist, right?
Yes.
I saw your work. You are an artist.
Yes. Painting mostly, yes.
Yeah.
So when did you get your start in that?
Well, I started just about the day I was born.
What?
You know, found a pencil and started making shapes. Shaping things around and stuff. And then after I graduated and went into the Army, got drafted in there. So no need to thank for my
service.
Thank you for your service.
I was drafted.
Vietnam? So, Vietnam then?
I was a Vietnam era. I got lucky. I went to
Germany.
My wife's helping me talk here a little bit because I had a stroke a few years back and I lost my language. I had to learn back and I still struggle with it. Someday I'll remember the word and then the next day I'll forget that same word. So anyway, I'm getting a little off track here, but you asked me...
How'd you get your start in
art? Oh, yeah. Then after the service, I went to Bemidji State College at the time, and I took art there.
Did you?
Yeah, I got a two-year degree in commercial art.
And technical?
Technical illustration.
Wow,
nice.
I went on for another year, and I got offered a job somewhere, and I never went back to get my four-year degree because I kept working.
And then, why did you need the degree if you were already working, right?
Yeah, right. And it was a pretty good job, you know. Money was rolling in. Not really, but...
It ebbed and flowed like all of us, right?
Yes. I ended up spending a lot of my last working years at the casino, Northern Lights Casino, in the mechanical department. And then I retired from there. And then I took my art back up once I retired.
Nice.
Yeah. No. And that's all I do all day long, every day.
So you primarily paint?
Huh?
Are you primarily paint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I paint with acrylics mostly.
Acrylics?
Yeah. Yeah, I do a few carvings and some stuff like that. But
you do, huh?
Yeah.
I don't do any
beadwork or anything like that, but I have made a few purses, leather, you know.
The purses. There he is, here's Frank.
I was going to talk to you about your art style. So I was looking at some of your art, and it's beautiful. I'm pretty sure that we'll be seeing you around a lot at shows and things like that, but you don't seem to have one style. I mean, I went from looking at a beautiful mukwa in the moonlight to a very interesting, you know, like fish abstract type thing. So have you always just painted randomly like that?
For the sound, isn't it?
I usually, I do a quite involved painting, and I primarily hold my sights on the native people. And I try to make them authentic, especially from years ago, and hopefully will help teach the people what happened before, you know. Mm. And I maybe throw in a couple of the fur trade in there because you don't know. We don't know what everybody wore. There's no real pictures of before the Europeans came across, you know. But I primarily try to study on the way back, you know. And there's always flowers involved.
Well, you know, it's got to be flowers.
Yeah. And then just to rest and loosen up, I'll do some abstracts in between those.
Yeah?
Because, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was another one I saw. You had one where you just used one color.
Yeah.
The purple moon.
It was like a...
Isn't that gorgeous?
I love that picture.
Universe scape or something.
Yeah.
And it's just one color. Is that something you've done often? Just one color? Is that to challenge yourself?
That time is the only time I've done it. Just something dawned on me one day. I'm going to try just one color, you know, and see what happens.
That's really cool.
It's gorgeous. I love it.
Do you have a favorite color?
I do have a favorite color. My favorite color is teal.
Do you have a favorite color?
I love purple.
You?
All shades.
Green.
Green.
What about you?
Orange.
Oh, wow.
Okay, orange. Cool. Oh, yeah. I love to hear orange.
Vibrant. Yeah. Vibrant.
That's interesting, because like, sometimes I would think particularly a visual artist may not have a favorite color, because you need all of it. But every time I ask, they always do have a favorite color.
That's cool.
I have a hard time because like when I'm painting flowers and stuff like that, I reach down for that teal blue color all the time, and then I'll look, and it's like, I've used that.
How about a quick little seminar, really quick? There's only three colors. So when you go with teal, you're actually mixing blue. You're mixing all the colors, really.
Uh-huh.
You're mixing green, so you're mixing blue. And see if I can say this close better. Teal is basically blue, but it's got a little bit of green in it. And to make green, you have to mix yellow. Blue. But there's the other two of the other primary colors, blue, red, and yellow. You mix those all together, you get all the other colors, and then you have the absence of light, and then you have darkness, and that's white and black, and that's all you need. I don't have a lot of different colors.
No, he doesn't.
I mix them.
You mix them
as I go. In the old days, we didn't. The people didn't use, hardly ever used blue in their designs. That was a hard color.
It's a hard color to get.
To find in nature and mix it and make it a color. I forget what you call it now, but you see the yellow and the red, and then it's black and white.
Yep.
We just interviewed an Odawa woman by the name of Wasan, Renee Dillard. And she is a weaver of bulrushes and cedar basswood. And so she has earned the right to use RIT. I love that statement. talked about being able to dye her natural materials. And she said that she could not get a blue.
Yep.
That if somebody knew what a good blue was, let her know because she couldn't get a blue.
Yep. We never could. blueberries. Yeah,
it's a light blue.
I was gonna say it looks right. Yeah, it does look purple.
So, do you have a favorite thing that you paint then, or is this just...
You know, I like to paint mundane happenings of the Ojibwe people, even though you're doing a mundane
task.
Practicing something mundane, the spirit is still there.
Exactly.
It's in the grass and the trees and the sky and everything.
Spirit,
so it's a lot about respect, you know, and for the universe.
Right. So have you shown your art before?
I was in a show last year. I was in kind of two shows last year. I'm a member of the Leech Lake Art League also, and we have a big show towards the end of the season, the end of the summer. It's coming around. It's really good.
So I was going to go back to your shows. I mean, I have not seen your art before, and I'm an immediate fan of your art.
Oh,
I love it. I have some, you know, connections. I'd really like to, you know, introduce you to some people and get you out there a bit so people can see your art.
Well,
there was another piece I saw over on the side that actually had a price tag on it. Some of your art is not for sale right now because you're doing want to make prints, which is a great idea.
Right.
That one piece is, it's like an abstract woodland floral type design. Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
I love that piece.
Yeah.
In fact, that piece is going home with us. I have the money in the car, so. That piece is going home.
I'm good for that one.
I was going to go to the bank, so.
One way or another, it was
one way or another.
Home.
That was
when I went around the corner and saw that, it was just like that. Just spoke to me. It was I needed that piece. So.
I'd like to hear about your little series of four paintings.
Yeah,
and it's like Makwa, Mikanak, Mayingan, and Migazi.
The four
major M's.
Yeah.
What's your thinking with the the moonscapes and those four?
I got a thing for the moon. the moon means a lot to me because it's like it covers all the seasons through the whole year, every year, and every month of the year there's a full moon. So I kind of base that on putting a full moon on each one.
Yeah.
And I was tempted to keep going and do 12 moons. I even thought of doing 13 because there is an odd one, you know. And then, but I did those, and then I thought, you know, I'm going to bring that into something a little bit bigger. So I started doing a wild rice moon. And what's the other one I've done so far?
The strawberry.
The strawberry moon.
Yeah, the strawberry moon.
Oh. Yesterday I could say the word for that, and today it's not. But, so I've decided to do all those moons in a bigger picture.
Bigger series, yeah?
Larger pictures, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You got to excuse my language sometimes, Mom. I'll get stuck.
Oh,
that's
no worries.
My wonderful wife here helps me.
Strawberry moon picture, is that the little baby sitting in the strawberries?
In the strawberries?
Is so cute. Yeah. That's me when I was little.
and you know, it just has to be that month of the moon. The moon itself doesn't have to show. But
because then you have the rising moon. It's a gorgeous painting of
After I did it, it was kind of dark like that. It made it dark. And uh-oh. I said, nice night racing.
I call it Menominee Twilight.
Yeah.
See, this bed wasn't open yet, and now there's a track through here in the morning.
Yeah.
Must have been Tom.
So, my wife inspires me with the moon thing, too. She's my moon maiden. She's not a maiden anymore.
Thank you. I'm not a crow now. An official elder.
Yeah.
Was your family encouraging of your art?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was always drawing pictures, and they'd always say, oh, that's pretty good. You know, I got in trouble in school a lot for drawing pictures instead of reading the assignments, you know.
That's the...
Mr. Gamache, what are you doing? Drawing pictures again?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Colleen, what? No.
So did you grow up in White Earth?
I grew up in Cache Lake.
Oh, okay.
My mother was from White Earth, and I was born in
Detroit Lakes,
so I spent a little time in White Earth. We visited when we were very young. But she moved here. She worked for, at that time, they call it the Indian Department. And she somehow got a job in that and moved here. And then she met my dad, and then they had all us kids, and we stayed here.
A lot of inspiration for your nature art in this area, too. I noticed it was like marshes and things like that.
Yeah.
Lots of lakes and water.
You know, you got to go gather that swamp tea.
And that's one of your paintings, right? Swamp tea.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's really great. I'm so glad that I got to meet you and to see your art. And I'm looking forward to watching you. I think people are going to really notice your art. There's a big movement, it feels like, anyway. I don't know, because part of my work involves working with artists. Maybe sometimes when you work with something, you notice things more.
Sure.
At one time, there was no place for natives to have a vendoring space for their art. At one time... Natives weren't in the places like Watermark Art Theater, and now there's a couple of others that we've come to know, like New York Mills has an art center,
and then there's
another friend that I have that has a center somewhere down by Piers, Minnesota. So there's another small community cultural center there, and she's called and asked me for the names of artists, but it seems like there's just more opportunity, not only just to sell, but to showcase your art. So it's really fun to, I've seen a number of artists, like, I've never shown my art before, and they're so nervous, and they're so scared, and then they sell their first piece, and it just, it confirms that their creation is of value to the universe, and then they just start rolling with
their
it, right?
Creation, that's well put.
Yeah. It is, it is so beautiful to watch that. We've had several now with the arts walk that young people, they need to be have that validation that what they're doing is of value, because so many people say that our young people aren't contributing anything like that, and they're not. We have so many beautiful young people out there.
Have you ever worked with youth in teaching them the pain?
With my grandkids. Yes. And I would be open to working with them.
Because we're trying to support the youth too, because a lot of times they've been told that they can't make a living from art. Well, that's not necessarily true. Or, you know, look at it as a supplement till, you know.
Exactly.
So, well, that's another venture for this new venture here, is expanding to some youth painting and drawing classes.
Yeah, we're already doing that in a number of places. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about, it growing. Because now it's happening in other places.
No, we have to pay it forward.
Yeah.
Sure. I've been working in my head about that. About giving some kids some instructions.
Yeah.
But I haven't written it down or anything, how I'm going to do it yet or when I'm going to do it. But I've got that in my mind.
Yeah, sometimes it's just coming. And then when the kids are in front of you, it will just come.
Yeah.
It's a gift. That's the creation part.
You know, and to have a studio or a place to do it, which we do now with this theater, could probably do some more stuff like that. Well, I thought about even going to the bug school before, but I haven't talked to anybody about it yet.
I have one ad that he did for the grandkids. He made it's called Papa Tom's Fun Book. And he didn't use any computer, nothing like that. He just freehanded all the pages. But the very first page is really nice because he gave instruction, simple to follow, how to do the colors, what kind of paper to use under your paper so you don't bleed through in different things, all with a focus on the little ones. And then as you go through, he made puzzles and games and different things for them. And they get, paint by numbers, all just freehand. You just did the whole thing freehand. And then the first page is very simple, and then, of course, as you go along, it gets, you know, more complicated. But he also talked about mixing colors and how to do all of those things. And it's just the neatest little...
I guess I have written that down a little bit.
And made that awesome thing. Is that something that you ever think about maybe trying to, you know, publish, market for other young
people? I would love
to
publish it somehow.
Let's talk and try to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know what I wanted to talk to you about too, though?
Yes.
You do the painting. Okay, we're in the...
Walker Bay Theater.
And you do the sets. You paint the sets, right?
Yes.
So... like, what's that like from moving from a 5x7 canvas to a larger wall? You know, like, what's that feel like? Is that a challenge or
overwhelming?
It was a challenge at first because I'm kind of a hard line painter, so I want to put everything looking just right. But when you get on the stage, you loosen up. And it's been a great experience to loosen up like that because you just kind of paint it quickly, so you just get the idea that this is a tree or you know, this is a window or a branch or something. But you can't do them perfect on there because you just flatly, you don't have time. You know? That would be a painting in itself. And you know, the next month it's going to be a different show and you're going to cover that all up. But it comes out really well to the audience to see that. And Fred's really good at setting up what he likes, the colors he likes to have.
Oh, okay.
And how it attaches to the main theme of that show that's going to be coming on.
What was your favorite show to do a background for?
Oh, boy. I'd have to think about that. Can I get back to you on that? No.
How many shows have you done?
You know, I think my favorite is I Do.
Mm-hmm.
He painted Victorian wallpaper by hand.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think that might have been the one that I liked.
That sounds kind of tedious.
He did. He did a Victorian drawing bedroom. It's Victorian.
Wow.
And then another one I liked was when he had to paint the barn wood.
Yeah, for Patsy Cline.
Patsy Cline.
These doors are an homage to that.
Yes.
Oh, I walked through some. I thought that was. You're really a good artist. I thought that was a barn board. How many shows have you done backgrounds for?
Oh, I don't know.
I want to say maybe eight.
Eight.
Probably eight. Yeah.
How long have you been working on this theater.
Well, we've been in this theater for 3 years.
Close to 3 years.
Almost 3 years.
Going on 3 years, yeah.
Oh, wow. So have you ever been thought about being in the play, like an actor?
Because of the stroke I had, I would have a hard time learning a lot of lines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was in one, and I had like 6 lines, short ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me as long to learn those 6 lines as did the rest of the cast. I learned their 40 lines, you know. So, even before I had the problem with my brain, I had a hard time with that.
I have to tell you, though, that, you know, I wouldn't know that you had had a stroke.
And, really?
And yeah, I think you're doing very well.
No.
Thank you. You mentioned a while ago there about the natives being kind of shy to bring their stuff out there.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of my ideas, too, that I want to work on, is to help the other artists come out and, mm-hmm. and you know, put it out there. And how do I do that? Because there's some really good native artists out there that are hiding. So I want to go look them up somewhere and get them in the Fred's shows mm-hmm. and get known and get rid of your shyness, you know? So I'm all in bringing everybody kind of up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not in for myself. I like the community. I was in Blandon, too, by the way.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Tom. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing your work out there, and actually, hopefully, looking forward to working with you, because you have some neat projects that I'd like to try to help you with, and I'm sure that Sharon's going to have you on some shows. And
yeah. I got your number. I still have that scrap of paper at home.
I think the universe is so interesting how it works, because I was talking about needing to have a couple more interviews, and I was actually sitting in a work meeting talking about beans, and Emily Annette was in the meeting, and she said, well, here, talk to these people. I can't remember how she said you guys were related, but she gave me this scrap of paper, yeah. and I came home, handed it to her, because she makes the phone calls, and, you know, kind of threw it on the table, and I was kept waiting for this to get set up, you know. But, you know, we live in the same area. I've never ran into you, and then all of a sudden I meet you, and there's this, I feel this
connection,
energy and connection, and your art really, really spoke to me, so I'm sure it's going to speak to a lot of other people as well.
Well, I consider that a great honor to have, that you chose me to interview.
It's amazing.
So I want to honor you guys for doing that.
Yeah.
Well, me glitch.
Yeah.
This program has been funded by the Legacy Arts, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.